الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله الحمد لله استماما لنعمته واستسلاما لعزته وأستعين من نقصي إلى كفايته وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. For today, I know it's been a long gap, but in my last khutbah here, I began talking in detail, it was during Ramadan, about the Fatiha. And the idea was that, yes, in Ramadan we pray more, but we also want to pray better. We want to try to develop a personal relationship with the Fatiha. And because we were talking in detail, of course it is impossible to get through the entire surah, and so I had promised and was asked by several people as well that I had to make sure, inshallah, to continue and finish. And so, with God's help and God's willingness, I will try to then finish the explanation of the Fatiha today with the goals that we have said. We had stopped at إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. And it is here, this is the transition point where we begin in the Fatiha to talk directly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Before, we were giving praise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, the most gracious, the most merciful, Maliki yawmiddin, the owner of the day of judgment. Now we turn to talking directly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we say, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ. You are the one we worship, وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, and you are the one we ask for help. And this construction in Arabic is a very, very unusual construction that we need to pay close attention to. Because in Arabic, if you and I were writing, we would say, نَعْبُدُكَ, we worship you, just like we say in English. Now, the Quran switches, and it makes the object of the verb come first. You are the one we worship. This construction is very, very unusual in Arabic, as it is in English. When I say you we worship, that sounds unusual to you. However, in English, it just seems like I mix the order of the words. We worship you, you we worship. In Arabic, when we do this change, and we bring you up front, the grammarians say that this is something known as uslubu al-hasr wal-qasr. What that means is exclusivity. It doesn't just mean we worship you, oh you, we worship, what difference does it make? No, in Arabic, the person who knows Arabic grammar and hears this understands that now the meaning is you alone and only you we worship. That's what that change signifies. And, of course, by bringing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His mention up front, we are, of course, giving priority to Him over us. If I say, we worship you, I'm stressing we. We are the focus of this sentence, what we're doing. When we say, you we worship, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the focus of that sentence. And that is the important point there, is that what we are saying, because a lot of the mushrikeen worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they also worshipped other things. And if I say, we worship you, that doesn't negate that I worship you, but I also worship this lesser god and this lesser god and this lesser god. But when we say, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ, it means we worship you alone and no other. وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, and you are the one we ask for help. Again, you and you alone. Recalling to us the beautiful hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he said that, understand, when he was telling the young boy riding behind him on the camel, he said, I'll teach you something. And he gives a long hadith, and I'll just say the end part of it. The bottom line, he told him that, understand that if the entire ummah were to come together to benefit you with something, they would not benefit you except with something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written for you. And if they were to come to try to do you harm, they could not harm you except with anything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written upon you. And then he said his beautiful words, رُفِعَتِ الْأَقْلَامُ وَجَفَّتُ الصُّحُفُ. The pens have been lifted and the pages have dried. That is final. So when we say we ask you alone for help, it is a recognition of the content of this hadith, that the matter is entirely in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As much as it seems, it's an almost unbreakable illusion that this person can hurt me, or that person can hurt me, or this person can help me, or this person can help me. That is an illusion, and we are reminding ourselves that it's an illusion. Finally, you notice that we say, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ. You are the one we worship. We don't say, إِيَّاكَ أَعْبُدُ. You are the one I worship. I'm the one saying the prayer. Why don't I say, you are the one I worship? Well, because Islam, of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. I'm giving food for thought, things to think about and consider. Islam is a collective religion. It is not all about me. When I say you are the one we worship, we are reminding ourselves that we are brothers and sisters in this faith, and that we together worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some things we can do on our own or in jama'ah. Other things require the entire body of the Muslims to accomplish, like establishing a proper governance or a proper state or a proper social welfare system and so on. And all of that is part of worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is a collective. وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. And you are the one that we ask for help. Then, we then continue in that same vein that we are now praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're the one we worship. You are the one we ask for help. What is it that we most want? اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Guide us to the straight path. And again, notice here that when I am praying, I'm not saying, ihdini, guide me. I am saying, guide us. Why? Because if I am to be a good Muslim, I can't just pray for my own guidance. I want my guidance and I want your guidance. Because we are brothers and sisters in this faith. I care about you, and hopefully you care about me. And so I am not just praying for myself. I am praying for all of us to be guided together to the straight path. And the word sirat in Arabic, we always say the straight path. Sirat in Arabic means the wide path, the clear path, the path to which all the other little roads lead. That is a sirat. And so when we hear this word, we should think of several things. That it is clear and that it is broad. What does it mean that it's broad? It means that there is enough room in this path for all of us. It means our different opinions, our different approaches, our different points of view. I told you in the first khutbah that there is a debate at the highest levels of our jurists as to whether Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim is an actual verse of the Fatiha, or it is just the opening and it is not a verse. And yet these people did not fault each other, did not blame each other, did not accuse each other of poor Islam or poor understanding or astaghfirullah kufr. And very often, I have people come up to me before the khutbah, after the khutbah, brother, this isn't correct. Brother, this isn't, why isn't the Islamic Center doing this? Why isn't the Islamic Center doing that? The road is big enough for your point of view and his point of view and her point of view, as long as it is not clearly contradictory to Al-ma'loom min ad-deen bid-darura, what is of necessity absolutely clear about the faith. So when we say as-sirat al-mustaqim, we should keep in mind the implications of that. The straight path that inshallah has room enough for all of us and would take all of us to the salvation that we very much hope for. What is this straight path? صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم. It is the path of those that you have blessed. That is its definition. It is not a definition that I make up or that you make up. It is simply those who are lucky enough to be blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And why do we say ihdina? It is a recognition of our poverty to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That we are the fuqara, we are the poor to His grace. As Prophet Musa alayhi salam said, Rabbi inni lima anzalta ilayya min khayrin faqir. Allah, I am impoverished for whatever grace you may give me, because the humility of the believer is to recognize that I don't control my own guidance. I don't wake up in the morning. We sometimes think that all it is a matter of, I'm going to make the decision and I'm going to now walk the straight and narrow and be a good Muslim. God knows best. I don't know. I wish it was that easy. I haven't found it that way. And when we see in the Quran is telling us that this guidance is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is not your will or my will. I don't will myself to be guided. I get blessed to be guided. And so the Quran in Surah At-Takwir tells us, إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا ذِكْرٌ لِلْعَالَمِينَ. Surely it is a reminder for all mankind. It is nothing but a reminder for all mankind. لِمَنْ شَاءَ مِنْكُمْ أَنْ يَسْتَقِيمُ. For whoever of you wants, who wills, to walk the straight path. وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَنْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. But you will not will that until God wills it for you, the Lord of the worlds. And so that's why we say, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Because we can't do it for ourselves. And we are coming to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in humility, asking for that most valuable thing in this world and the hereafter, and recognizing, again, that the Quran tells us in Surah Al-A'raf, مَنْ يَهْدِ اللَّهُ فَهُوَ الْمُهْتَدِي وَمَنْ يُضْلِلْ فَأُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ. That whoever Allah guides, He is the guided one, and whoever He misguides, they are the losers. Again in Surah Al-A'raf, مَنْ يُضْلِلِ اللَّهُ فَلَا هَادِيَ لَهُ. Whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lets go astray, there is no guide for him. He cannot find the straight path. There is no guidance at all. وَيَضَرُهُمْ فِي تُغْيَانِهِمْ يَعْمَهُونَ. And he will leave them in their overweening arrogance, stumbling to and fro. And look at how frightening that is. وَيَضَرُهُمْ فِي تُغْيَانِهِمْ يَعْمَهُونَ. He will leave them blind, stumbling to and fro. And that is why we ask for guidance. Because it is not in our hands, it is in God's hands to, inshallah, accept from us this prayer and to guide us. Now, we say that the guidance is upon those whom you have blessed, right? صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم, because indeed it is a blessing from God. غير المغضوب عليهم. Not so upon those who have earned your blessing, not upon those who have earned your anger, وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ, or those who have gone astray. And here again is a very interesting question for us to think about as we develop our relationship with the Fatiha. When we say those whom you have blessed, some people say that is a category. Then it has its own definition. And غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ, not those who have earned your anger, وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ, or those who have gone astray. That الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ, why have they earned God's anger? Some say that that category of people are the people who know what is right, and out of weakness or out of arrogance or out of greed or out of whatever may be, decide not to follow it. وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ, those who have gone astray, are those who simply err, they make mistakes because they don't know right from wrong. And we are asking God to help us steer clear of either of those categories. Now some say that this is the definition of الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ, those that you have shed your blessings upon, who are they? They are the ones that have not earned your anger, غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِينَ, or have not gone astray. If you are not in those two categories, then you have received God's blessings. Other people say no. The Quran would not define God's blessings by negatives, that God's blessing is not to be angry with me, not to let me go astray. That's like my identifying one of you as saying, well, he's not so-and-so, he's not so-and-so, he's not so-and-so, so what's left? Well, he must be Brother Omar. So there is this debate among our jurists, does الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ mean غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِينَ, and that's it, that's the whole definition? Or is it an even higher rank than simply being outside of those two categories? And each of us can take whatever meaning we wish. I just want us to deliberate and think about the Quran and think about the beautiful debates that our scholars have given to this book. They have lavished so much attention on it, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us also lavish some attention on it, so that the Fatiha is not just in the background as I'm thinking of what's happening at work and the grocery list when I'm saying my prayers, that I develop a relationship with the Fatiha. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us. Udu Allah. الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. In the second khutbah, I want to make two brief points. One point I've already touched upon is that in the recitation of the Fatiha, one of the many, many, many messages should be our mutual bonds of love and affection. And that includes our tolerance for each other, for different points of view. And so that the Sirat al-Mustaqim is a wide road that can accommodate us. And I told you that some of our biggest imams say that Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is not a verse of the Fatiha. But now you fall into a problem. Because the Quran says in Surah Al-Hijr, وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَاكَ سَبْعًا مِنَ الْمَثَانِي وَالْقُرْآنَ الْعَظِيمِ, we have bestowed upon you seven of the oft-repeated verses and this sublime Quran. So if you say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is not a verse of the Fatiha, and you start counting from Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, you're going to have six verses, not seven. What happens then? Well, the group that says that Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is not part of the Fatiha, they will break up verse 7 into two verses. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم, pause, end of verse. غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين, another verse. That way, for them, the Fatiha also stays seven verses. And on this most basic of topics, we accommodate each other's difference of opinion willingly and lovingly, without blame, without recrimination, without insult. So surely on the smaller points, unless someone is coming out with outright kufr, we can accommodate each other and work together. Now, point number two, there is a strong thread of opinion that the Fatiha, that the reason that we say it in our prayers is because it is the umbrella for the entire Quran. That it is chapter headings. And that every verse in the Quran falls under one of those headings. God knows best. This is a human opinion, but it's a beautiful opinion to think about. And I want to illustrate it with just one verse, but of course you could do that with every verse in the Fatiha. But we say, صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم, when you read the translations, the path or the way of those that you have shed your blessings upon, غير المغضوب عليهم, not those who have earned your anger, ولا الضالين, or those who have gone astray. But if you actually look at the Arabic, it says غير المغضوب عليهم. That means in Arabic, those who have not earned anger. There is no your anger. We always read translations and translate it that not those who have earned your wrath or your anger. But in the Arabic, it's those who do not have anger upon them, and it is not your anger. Why? Because it is a bigger anger. They have the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but not only that, they have the anger of what some of the scholars will say, al-ghadibuna lillah, those who are angry at the unbelievers on behalf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And not only that, but they will be angry with each other for having led each other astray. And they will be angry with themselves on the day of judgment for having either deliberately or inadvertently avoided being among the truly blessed who have earned God's blessings. And so we can see all of these shades of anger in the Quran. That the Quran is telling us in Surah Ghafir, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا يُنَادَوْنَ لَمَقْتُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ مِنْ مَقْتِكُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ إِذْ تُدْعَوْنَ إِلَى الْإِيمَانِ فَتَكْفُرُونَ. That behold, for those who are bent on denying the truth, those who know what's right and are deliberate about not doing it, a voice will call unto them, indeed, God's loathing of you is greater than your loathing of yourself. God's anger with you, God's hatred of you is greater than your anger at yourself and your hatred at yourself when you were called onto faith, but you did not follow or heed that call. And so we see here God's anger and their anger against themselves. Then in Surah Al-Anfal, وَلَوْ تَرَى إِذْ يَتَوَفَّى الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا الْمَلَائِكَةُ يَضْرِبُونَ وُجُوهَهُمْ وَأَدْبَارَهُمْ وَذُوقُوا عَذَابَ الْحَرِيقِ. And if you could see how it will be when he causes those who are bent on denying the truth to die, the angels will strike their faces and their backs and will tell them, taste suffering through the fire. So they have earned the anger of the angels. And in Surah Al-Ankabut, وَقَالَ أَنَّمَا اتَّخَذْتُم مِّن دُونِ اللَّهِ أَوْثَانًا مَوَدَّةَ بَيْنِكُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. You have chosen to worship idols instead of God for no other reason than to have a bond of love among yourselves in the life of this world. ثُمَّ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ يَكْفُرُ بَعْضُكُمْ بِبَعْضٍ وَيَلْعَنُ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا وَمَأْوَاكُمُ النَّارُ وَمَا لَكُمْ مِنْ نَاصِرِينَ. But on the day of judgment, you will disown each other and you will curse one another, for the goal and the abode for all of you will be the fire, and there will be none to help you. And so the unbelievers will also have the anger of each other. Those who were their bosom buddies in kufr, in disobedience, in putting the life of this world above the hereafter, on the day of judgment, all of those turn upon each other. And so we see now how so many of these verses fall under غير المغضوب عليهم, those who do not have anger upon them, because we are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course, first and foremost, keep us from being among those that you are angry with, but also we do not want to be among those who are angry with themselves and who are angry with their fellow humans and who have the angels angry with them, hitting them as they come out. And just as a sort of light point to end this serious khutbah, I sort of await, because we know, of course, that it will be on the day of judgment that we will find out how we have fared when we stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for our accounting. But I always look to this verse about the angels will take them out and will be hitting them. And I'll say, okay, as my soul is coming out, if I don't feel myself getting slapped, then maybe inshallah it's going to be okay. But if I feel myself getting hit, well, astaghfirullah, what, nothing to do at that point. And so just sort of a light point, I've sort of kept that in the back of my mind since well, since my teenage years, and we'll see what happens. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the best. I pray to Allah and I ask you to pray with me. Allahumma ja'al al-Qur'ana shifa'an nusudurina wa rabi'a qulubina wa manba'a imanina wa zakatan linufusina wa jala'a hammina wa nura quburina wa shafa'atan lana yawma hisabina wa barakatan lana wa li awladina wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Aqim as-salah.